Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Dunlap, and we are excited that you're joining with us this evening. Now, listen, we have received a word from Blog Talk Radio. You know, this is the network that we're on, that they are experiencing some technical difficulties. So if you are out there listening, we hope that everybody can hear us, because we do not know if you're not able to hear us. But if so, just send us a message. Send us a message on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF, or shoot me a quick email at Dunlap, is the email address, Dunlap, D-U-N-L-A-P, at prfministry.org, and we'll see what we need to do to bring you into the conversation, even if it's just to hear. And so we hope that Mama is with us this evening. Mama, if you're with us, go ahead and let us know that you're with us. But if not, we're going to try to deal with some of these technical difficulties that are going on right now. So, again, thank you so much for joining us. And what I'm going to do is take a quick little interlude, unless I can hear from Mama. And let me see if Mama's on the line. Mama, good evening. Good evening. So I guess you
good
can hear
me.
Lord have mercy. I got a message from Blog Talk Radio probably about 15 minutes ago saying that they were having some technical difficulties. So I was going through all these technical things to get people to help us out, if you will, to be able to see if they were able to hear before we actually started getting on the show. So let me do this. We want to make sure that our listening audience, those who are out there, can actually hear what's going on. We don't want anybody to miss it, because we're going to be talking about something tonight that's going to really kind of be really hot, and it's going to be talking about planning for prosperity or famine, which is really continuing on what we've been talking about with this planning and saving series. Particularly under the topic of a fresh biblical start to planting and savings. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a song for a couple of minutes, and we're going to come back, make sure we got all these bugs worked out, or make sure Blog Talk Radio has them all worked out, and we'll be right back with you. So hold on for 1 minute.
This album is dedicated to everybody that's been good. I hope you've enjoyed this record. I hope it's ministered to your heart and soul. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. And we'll be praying for your family too. I just got one more thing I want to leave with you. If you're going through something, family.
When I cannot feel sparrow sing. When I cannot feel melody. There's a secret place.
Y'all wouldn't pray if you didn't go through something. And when you go through something, that's when you meet Jesus. Can I get a witness of this? And listen, if you're really sick in your body and feel like giving up, listen.
When the sickness won't leave my body.
Yes, sir.
When the pain just won't leave my soul.
This is all you gotta do.
I get on my knees. The same Jesus, please.
Call them.
There's a blessing in the storm.
I need a witness in there.
Help me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm.
Some of y'all have been into some bad relationships, and some of you had your heart broken and you've been lied to. I want to let you know that there is a lover named Jesus, and he will supply your every need. Family.
When I cannot see the love again.
Yes, sir.
And the rain drops.
just hold on.
If you just hold on,
these clouds
will soon be gone.
Yes, sir.
There's a blessing in store.
Come on, somebody.
Help me sing it.
Mama, can you hear me? Are we good to go now?
Yes.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. I think we're good to go now. So look, we had to deal with that little technical difficulty, and we'll take it up with Blog Talk Radio. But look, thank you, everybody, for just sticking with us through that little interlude. And tonight on the PRFA, we're talking about planning for prosperity or famine. That's what we're dealing with tonight. Now, look. We had a couple of shows that we've done so far. We started off this whole series this month talking about planning and saving. And I'm telling you, as you want to listen to this particular show, we wanted to encourage everybody to go back and listen to the other shows. And just as a recap, Mama, you know, we started off on April the 7th, we did a Proverbs 16. And we just gave some basic foundation for planning, which is just a basic understanding of how God sees planning. And, of course, he wasn't covering the whole totality of everything. But, look, when we pull some things out of the written word of God that specifically deal with planning, then I'm going to say they're good enough for me and they should be good enough for you. And then on April 14th, we talked about Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, as well as chapter 30, verses 24 to 25. And, Mama, you remember we were dealing with those ants and how – those ants were wise, and we made some comparisons on, you know, if the ant is as small as it is, yet we are as large as we are, and we have been given so much more than the ant, then we should be able to do better than the ant when it comes to planning and saving. And so I believe that was the time when we introduced that first strategy, because, look, we said, look, we don't want to just be talking to y'all for a whole hour. Right, he wants to give you some practical strategies, some things that you can really think about and meditate on. You don't have to get a million scriptures to hear from God, amen. And so that particular strategy that we dealt with was doing it together. And then on the last week, because that was the 14th, on last week we started in Genesis 41, and we were talking about and what Joseph did with Pharaoh, and we're going to touch back on it, but at the end of the day, that strategy that we introduced to everybody was, look, you got to operate within a system that works. Mm-hmm. Operate within a system that works. So operate within a system that works for you. And when we talked about you, we weren't talking about you as just a individual, like you're some cat or some dude that's just sitting out on some island. We said, no, we're talking about this from an individual perspective as well as a collective perspective. So tonight, Mama, I think we're going to press in. I know we only got less than an hour. Whatever we can do an hour, and you know how we do on the PRF table. If we got to come back to it next week, that's what we're going to do. But I want us to come back to Genesis 41, and those of you who are listening, if you want to jump into the conversation, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone. If you are listening online, one of our faithful online listeners, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, PRF. It's located on Facebook. All you do is go to facebook.com/PRF, PRF, and send us a message or post something, and we have somebody that's going to be monitoring that so we can
respond to your question if you're listening online. If you're listening online and you just say, look, I want them to hear what I got to say about this, then all you got to do is pick up your phone and dial 347-215-7934. So, listen, this is what we're going to do. I want us to really just take it back a notch so that we can dive headfirst into this. You know, we were talking about strategy, right? And we defined strategy a couple of weeks ago as a particular long-term plan for success. And I said, look, if that's what a strategy is, then that's what we should be operating by. We have to operate by a particular strategy. But if you go back to the first week, this is why I'm telling everybody, go back and listen to the other shows if you've missed them. Because it's not just about our strategy and our plan. We have so many things that the Word of God has already placed before us. If we can try to grab a hold to it and take the words off of the page and make them really applicable into our lives. And so that's the definition of a strategy, particular long-range plan for success. So what that implies is if you put together a strategy or if you operate within a strategy or if God reveals to you a certain strategy, then that is the thing that you need for the long-term success. Now, I did push back on that basic definition a little bit and said, you know what? You also can have short-term strategy. So for me, it's not just about a long-term plan, but it's also about short-term. I mean, let's be real. A lot of people have short-term plans for success who live paycheck to paycheck. Right, Mama, and do not save money, right? So people do that, and we want people to understand, look, there's so much out there if you're willing to pay attention to it. So still with us, I just wanted to turn the mic over to you for a minute to see if you had any opening comments on this such important topic. All right, so we're going to keep on going. So listen, we're going to start back in Genesis 41. And here's something that I thought would be really, really important for us to do. I want you to think about sports. And when we deal with sports, think having a plan and a strategy. I think that just like so many different areas of our lives, you got to have some plans if we're going to be successful, right? Nobody, and I mentioned this, may have mentioned this last week, but now we're in the NBA playoffs. And so if we are an NBA team, if you will, and if we are planning to win the championship, then we don't just get out there with five guys or five ladies and just think that we're all of a sudden going
just be successful just because we get out there and play, right? So we have to have some type of plan. And I told y'all last week that just thinking about a plan or just saying, you know what, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to turn it over to God as if there's nothing else that you have to do. That's not what's actually going to happen. We have to do a little bit more than just saying, I'm just going to pray about it and turn it over to God. If we are willing to do what we are required to do in some cases, if we are willing to do what God has put before us in other cases, then I'm guaranteeing you that you're going to have a whole lot more success than just being the person that says, I'm going to get out there on the basketball court and we're going to win the championship with just five guys who've never played together before, don't know who's supposed to be in what position or any of that type of thing. So that's where I wanted to start. And I wanted us to really be encouraged for those individuals who are listening out there that says that you can't save, right? If you say that you can't save, then I'm going to say, let's try to see what you can save. A lot of people don't think they can save until somebody presents something to them. And when they present something to them, then they're like, you know what? It may not be that difficult. It may not be that hard. So that's where I want us to be tonight. I want y'all to be encouraged. I want you to understand, look, I can do this. No matter what I didn't do, I can do this. And I'm going to do something maybe a little unorthodox right now. I'm going to throw a question out there. here's the question that I want all of y'all to think about, those who are planning on calling in tonight or those who are listening online. But I want you to think about this. The title of tonight's show is Planning for Prosperity or Famine. We're coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 41. And this is the question I want you to ask yourself. Which one are you planning for today? Which one are you planning for today? I want you to think about that. Are you planning for prosperity? Are you planning for famine? The reality is you're planning for one or the other, whether you really believe it or not. So we don't want people to just go off on the deep end. We don't want people to turn away. So what I'm going to do is I want you to think about that question, and we're going to come back to you in about 2 minutes. Let this song, it's called Order My Steps. I'm not going to play the one with the words. I'm going to play just the instrumental. And I want y'all just to think about that question. Which one are you planning for today? Are you planning for your prosperity, or are you planning for your family? We'll be back with you in a moment. All right, my brothers and sisters, look, we are back with you. This is Dr. Dunlap. We're talking about tonight planning for prosperity or famine. This is the PRX table. And look, we are about to get into it. So what we want to do is just tell everybody, look, we asked the question, which one are you planning for today? Are you planning for prosperity or are you planning for famine? And again, look, this is not about beating up anybody. I want to make that clear to everybody who's listening. Look, if you have not been doing well with this thing called planning, if you have not been doing well with this thing called saving, we understand that it is a biblical principle. We understand that God has ordained it. We understand that it's something that is needed. But we're not here to beat anybody up on it, because the truth of the matter is this, and this is true of myself, Shatara, Adia, Rafisa, Mama,
we all can do a little bit better when it comes to planning in certain areas of our life, right? We all can do better in certain areas. So, again, I want everybody, and, you know, I'm really big about let's not let the devil get any glory. Let's not give him any credit, mama, for any of that foolishness. The reality is God's word has laid out some stuff for us if we're willing to receive it. And so let's just do that. Mama, we're back in, and again, back in chapter 41.
Okay.
And
thank
here's
you.
What I love. Here's what I love. We're going to start back at verse 28. And for those who weren't with us, again, I told y'all to please go back and listen to previous shows because they have been really good. God has really been speaking. But here's the gist of what's going on in Genesis 41. You have Pharaoh that had a dream. He had a dream about some healthy cows. And the healthy cows was on the edge of the river, and they were doing what cows do, eating and drinking.
Yeah.
And then here come some skinny cows or some thin cows, and they come up and they eat up the bigger cow. But then after they ate up the bigger cow, for whatever reason, the skinny cows did not look any larger than they did after eating the big cow. Now, that's something really, really crazy for you to try to envision in your mind. But when I did, I said, huh, you know what? That is kind of crazy. Then he had another dream, and it's a dream about some grain that was growing up where you had some plumpness on the stalks, if you will. And then there was some other ones that was really, really thin, and the weather had them just blowing away, but they consumed the bigger ones. So the whole theme of what was being seen was you had the smaller thing that was consuming the bigger thing, right? So here comes Joseph, and Joseph, make a long story short, Joseph interprets the dream, and he says, look, this is what God is saying. What God is saying is he's describing to you, Pharaoh, 7 years of famine and 7 years of prosperity. The larger cows represent the prosperity. The plump grain represents the prosperity. And the thin one, the withering one, grain it is representing the famine and just like the thin cow. So that this man called Joseph, he comes up and he says, And we're picking up at verse 28, or just dropping there for a moment. What he says to them, to Pharaoh, is, this is going to happen exactly as I described it. That's what he says. This is going to happen just like I described it. Now, here's what I want everybody to see. The plan is not always given to everybody. Y'all know I like to wait till the end to keep people on the edge of y'all heels, but maybe that's a nugget or maybe that's the strategy for the night. But you have to recognize that you're not going to always get the plan. God is not always going to reveal the plan to you. See, last week we talked about making sure that you operate within the plan that's working, the plan that works for you. If you operate within the plan that works for you, you have to understand, so we deal with this as a third strategy, if you will. You have to understand that God may not give it to you. Think about where we are in this text. We're in the book of Genesis. We're in Egypt. A lot of folks are there. If you remember, there was a lot of folks that left Egypt during the Exodus, right? As Pharaoh got, you know, that other Pharaoh got particularly tired of what God was doing with all those plagues, and he's like, y'all go ahead and y'all take all y'all stuff, y'all go ahead and roll out and get out of here. All of the people that was there, all of the people that was around Pharaoh, see, Pharaoh, this wasn't like this bad, wicked Pharaoh, right? Contrary to what, you know, you may think from watching the Ten Commandments, you know, once a year on TV. He was a king, so he had a lot of folks around him. He had a lot of folks that was at his beck and call. But nobody could do what Joseph could do. And that's because God gave that to him. So God gave him the plan. And so when we picked it back up, remember what we talked about last week, what Joseph said was, look, for the next 7 years, y'all going to have great prosperity. So what I need you to do I need you to recognize that there's going to be, after those 7 years of prosperity, that there's going to be 7 years of fast. And so what you have to do is, during this prosperity period, you need to go and you need to collect up. You're going to have you collect up a fifth of everything that is growing, of the crop, so that we can store it up right now, so that when the famine comes, you have it. Now, Mama, you jump in whatever you want to. But when I read that, again, we don't have to rush through God's word. That ain't what we do at the CRF table. I'm thinking about where a lot of people are today. And that's why I asked that question, what are you planning for today? Are you planning for prosperity or are you planning for famine? What they were doing, if you really think about what was going on, the prosperity was already going on, right? They were already in that, right? They were already, everything was okay. You don't read about it was just a bad period of history. It was a bad time. You don't read any of that. So they got the 7 years. And can you and think about this? What do a lot of people do? I'm so excited about this thing. What do a lot of people do when things are going good?
They're happy. They're rejoicing. They're spending money that they don't have.
Out of control. And let me say what. Let me throw this out there for Adele, who's not here right now. We just finished the tax season, right? April 15th. We know that from February to April sometimes, a lot of people ball out of control because they get, let's call it, a lot of people get these things called refunds. Now, praise God, I got ours. We got ours. A lot of people get these refunds, and these refunds become a thing of prosperity. Well, what I'm saying to folks is this. Have you put anything aside for the famine? Or is the mindset, because things are going so well, because there's no real concern right now, and we don't have to worry about that. And I'm saying, let's look at what God is saying here. God is saying, look, you are not always can I say it like this? What I see God saying through this is, you are not always going to live in a period of prosperity.
Amen.
You're not always going to live in a period of prosperity. Rich folks with debt, more than one house, have filed bankruptcy. So let me help you. It is not just about poor people. When you start talking about famine, rich folk go through famine as well. This famine that God was talking about, that God told to Joseph, he said, look, this thing is going to destroy the land. Can I help us? Has not poverty destroyed our land? I didn't ask you to give me explanations about anything. I'm just saying, has not poverty just ravaged neighborhoods?
Yes.
Yes. When you go into a city and you can visibly see poverty in one section of town versus another, then what my Bible tells me is, hey, just because one place is doing good and the other place is not doing so good, then you can't sit up there in the place of good as if we don't have a problem. So I look at this and I say, okay, the poverty line, below the poverty line, those are terms that are very prevalent right now in this political environment that we're in, right? Because people are trying to appeal to folks. But God is clear, Mama. He is so clear.
Yeah.
We are not always going to live in the place of prosperity. So if you are constantly preparing and planning in your mind for nothing but prosperity, then I think that you have a wrong biblical understanding of what God is doing in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Pharaoh says, so Joseph says, look, you should find somebody that can run this thing, right? Put them in charge of all the land of Egypt. so he can run this, so he can get this one fifth of everything that is going to be produced and bring it into the storehouse, so that there's going to be enough food in the city. And I'm gonna try not to get on that. Gave Joseph that position, right? He made him the governor. He put him in charge of all. And so here's why I want us to just pick up. If you go over, Mama, to chapter 47.
46?
47.
Okay. 47. 47. Okay, I'm there.
So if you go to 47 and you pick up at verse 13.
Okay.
And what you do is where it says, meanwhile, the famine became so severe that all the food was used up. People were starving out throughout the land of Egypt and throughout Canaan. By selling all the grain to the people, Joseph eventually collected all the money in Egypt, and he put the money in Pharaoh's treasury. And then it says the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money. When that happened, all the Egyptians, they came to Joseph. Our money is gone. Give us some food, or we're going to die before your very eyes. That's what my translation says. That's a quote. Please give us some food, or we will die before your very eyes. And so I think it's important, because look, we don't sugarcoat stuff on the PRF table. We're talking about planning for prosperity or famine. And you see that Joseph was the leader that was able to be in charge of what needs to happen so the people have. I hope nobody gets offended on tonight, but if they do, I still love them. I can't get away from the storehouse, Mama, so let me just do it. See, the purpose of that storehouse, storing up everything, was an act of planning. It was an act of planning, and it was an act of saving. It was an expression of the godly principle of planning and saving all the way back to the first book of the Bible. But why was it in the storehouse, Mama? It was in the storehouse for one purpose and one purpose alone, for the people when they needed it. I'm going to throw this out here. I have to believe that one of the reasons why so many of y'all listening don't do well, those of you who don't do well in this, with planning and with saving, is because of where you're putting and depositing your money. If I deposit $100 into the bank, and the bank tells me that I'm going to receive a return on my investment of 10%, then I'm expecting at some point that that $100 is now going to become $110. I have an expectation. And
yes.
So if I bring my money to the church, to the storehouse, and you tell me, bring all the tithe, and I'm just going to use that as one example that I'm going to get off of it quick before we run down a rabbit hole. But you tell me to bring all the tithe and offerings to the storehouse so there will be meat in my storehouse. But yet when I'm going through something, I can't come to the storehouse. Then there is then there is not a good understanding, or there's some wanton recklessness when it comes to leadership in this area of planning or saving. Let me go back here, Mama. Let me go back here. I hate turning pages, but verse 35 in chapter 41.
Okay.
Heaven gather all of the food produced in the good years that are just in hand, and bring it to Pharaoh's storehouse. Store it away and guard it so there will be food in the city. That way there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, the famine will destroy the land. So now the famine is going to destroy the land if there's not anything in the storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is there's so many people in our country, in our churches, in our community, in my family, in your family, that are not in a position to plan and save for one reason or another. There is nothing in the storehouse, then you can expect there to be famine in the land. If there's nothing in the storehouse, then you can expect there to be poverty that rips across the nation, rips across your community, rips a hole in your family structure. So now we're faced with a dilemma, Mama. Do I plan for my individual household, or do I continue to deposit money and plan into some other place, to a place that I know is not truly a storehouse? And therefore, when I am in need, when I am in trouble, when I don't do some of the right things, I have no place to go. Can I help us? There's a good reason why so many people are in debt. It's because there's a lack in the storehouse. Sister Minnie decides, or Sister Minnie comes to the church and says, I need $150 for my light bill. The storehouse should have it. If the storehouse does not have it, then the leader of the storehouse should be connected with another leader of another storehouse to be able to say, Sister Minnie needs $150 for her light bill. If nobody around us in every one of our doggone storehouses don't have nothing in the storehouse, then what are we giving to them for? See, I can't get with this thing of manipulation anymore. Nobody sitting among us, if we calling ourselves family, should be going through some of the things that people are going through financially for the lack of their not being in the storehouse. See, I'm talking, and understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about me saying, no, Mama, I'm not going to be able to give you that $150, Minnie, because I already know, because you've already told me. I have concrete evidence. I have some specific that says that you're not doing the right thing by the money that you have. So it's not that you're in lack. You're in a period of famine because of your actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that our job is to bail people out every single time, because that becomes also a crutch for people for this whole biblical principle of planning and saving. If you refuse to save your money, but you want to go spend your money on whatever you spend your money on, but then when you get in trouble, something happens, then you come and say, Dr. Dunlap, can I get $50 for this? See, you can't have that expectation that I'm going to do it. Because, see, now you're trying to abuse grace, and we ain't having that.
Mm-hmm.
God is not going to allow you, nor I, to abuse his grace. So therefore, we should not allow others to abuse our grace as well. Please hear me. I'm not telling you just to say no to everybody. Please follow what God and the Spirit of God is telling you to do. We come back to 47. We understand that this whole thing of famine, the crux, if you will, between prosperity and famine lies within the storehouse. Oh, my goodness. It lies within the storehouse, Mama.
Yeah.
During those years of prosperity, if they did not have anything in the storehouse, as soon as the famine hit, things would have been bad. But when you pick up in verse 13 says, meanwhile, the famine became so severe, which means that we are already in the famine at this particular time, but it's getting worse. It got so bad that all the food that they had, food that the people had, was used up. When the food was used up, then now what you have is the people that have to come. See, they had their own at first. And so now they're in a period where, you know, all that we have, our cupboards are bare. So now we got to go to the place, because you got to understand, just like in our modern day storehouses, Mama, all of those people in Egypt and in Canaan that was there, don't you know they understood that Pharaoh had sent his leaders to collect up the one of what the land was producing?
Yes.
They knew that they were giving up their one-fifth to Pharaoh. Listen, a storehouse is something that you can't hide no dog on a storehouse.
No.
So you gotta, again, people, just think about stuff as you read the Word of God. So here we are, 1985, harvest time. Here comes some cats come around from Pharaoh's army. They collect one-fifth. And you know that you're not benefiting from that because it's going to that other place. And here comes the next year. And here comes the next year. And it continues to happen. So you have to know that Pharaoh's folk can't eat that much. Oh, my goodness. It's not that difficult for me. I hope it's not that hard for you. But they, you know they're not eating up all of that every year, right?
You're right.
Because it's every time. And you know that there's not just one harvest time. There's several harvest times depending on what's being grown and what's being birthed. So now here we go at this critical time where the famine was going on. They used up what they had. You know they saw what was being taken from them, and it was taken back to some other place that they did not have access to, because if you go back to 41, it was clear, stored away and guarded so that there will be food in the city. So now the famine, again, verse 13, the famine is so severe that all the food was used up, and now the people are starting to starve. You got to remember this. God said that there will be a famine. The Word of God clearly states, Mama, in this life you shall have tribulation. Right?
Yes.
In this life you shall have tribulation. It may not get to the point of being a famine, but it's going to be something that's just not pleasant, something that's going to be uncomfortable, something that may take some money out of an account that you don't want to have to take out of an account for that particular time. It may take a $5,000 check to bury your father that you know you didn't have, but you took it out of your business account and play and pray that business will pick up so he can go back into it. Those things happen. So this whole thing about, listen, I don't want anybody to get wrapped up on this word prosperity. I don't want anybody to get wrapped up on this word famine. Just know that there's going to be some times where things are good and some times where things are not good. I beseech you, people who are listening to us, if all that you're getting is that God is all about prosperity, then what we're reading to you is a lie. And I have to say, that is not a lie. So maybe somebody else is lying. We're trying to get you to see that everything is always going to be good. No, in this world you shall have tribulation. Some stuff is just going to come up. That's why this storehouse is so important. That's why you having an understanding about planning and saving is so important. Because the reality is you don't know when these things are going to happen.
Right.
I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm going to let you go back between verse chapter 41 and chapter 47, and I'm going to go and let you see if the people knew, if it was expressed to them that we're going to have a famine in 7 years, after the 7 years of prosperity. If you go back and you discover that the people knew that there was going to be 7 years of famine after those 7 years of prosperity, then you have to ask yourself the question, what did they do in the meantime when they knew that it was going to be 7 years of prosperity? See, just because there's nothing growing anymore doesn't mean that there's not supposed to be something there that can sustain you through the famine. This is what God is speaking right now. We have to do what we need to do, I'm talking about in the right way, of course, to make sure while things are going good, while things are going excellent, while things are going so-so, that we never forget that there is going to be a time where something is going to come along that's going to suck some money out of our accounts, that's going to have us cashing in some of our 401ks or taking money out of our savings or that cash that you had in the mattress or whatever it is, that something is going to happen, and it may not be as severe as a famine, but it just may be unpleasant. So what you do in the meantime to plan for it is going to make all the difference in the world of how you respond to it. How many times have we talked about on this show and in front of others as we've done workshops all around that God wants us to respond versus react? Let me tell you something. you can respond to a famine when you plan for not just for prosperity, but you plan for the famine as well. See, we have insurance, right? Some of us, some of us have insurance. And some people have car insurance. I'm talking about car insurance, right? Up in Philly, you don't need full cover. You get liability, boom, you can roll out. But what happens when something happens and you need more than liability coverage? I'm going to say we're going to hope that you have a lot of money stored up to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. It is something that is going to go beyond the limit of your liability insurance. But why do we have insurance? In case something happens. So see, this is what I'm trying to tell folks, Mama. We got a real good concept about planning. Because we're planning. Sometimes it has to be forced, right? Sometimes the law has to say you will have life insurance. You will have health insurance. Because we and others know that sometimes folks are just not going to do, not the ones who can't afford to do it, but some folks are just not going to do it. I know folks that are just not going to have insurance just because they don't have to have insurance, because it's not mandatory. But when they get in a fix, where do they go? What else have they invested in? See, God was smart. God said, I'm going to make sure I get some folks that's going to come around and collect it from you. Maybe God had it working that way because the people didn't understand how to do it themselves. Maybe God had it going that way because he knew that when they got their income tax check, see, maybe he took that tax return out of somebody's paycheck when they got their tax return. Maybe he had somebody's wages gone because he knew they weren't going to do it for themselves. So he said, you know what, let me just allow that to happen. So at the end of the day, what we see in Genesis 41 and 47 is God allowed this famine to happen. So you have to say, if God allows a famine to happen, why would God allow a famine to happen? Because there's a lesson in it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to make it difficult. There's a lesson in it. So if you go back to Genesis 47, a severe famine, all used up. So what they had was all used up. See, that's a good thing. It's a good thing that it was used up. See, if it wasn't there, how much worse would it have been if it was not there in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
So you have to be careful, people who are listening. You have to be careful about saying, man, I got this money in my 401k, but I don't want to take it out. I'm going to say the other alternative is, what if you did not have it in there? What would you do? What illegal activity would you turn to? What hook and crook scheme would you turn to? How many extra kids would you claim on the taxes if you didn't? So if you have it in the storehouse, and I'm talking about your individual storehouse and I'm talking about the church's storehouse, if you have it there, then don't be mad when you have to use it. I know it's uncomfortable. Trust me. I've had to do that a couple of times, and it's not the funnest thing that you have to do. But the alternative was they not having any of it, and the famine hit. Thank God that they had it up until that point. So now the food is up. And so what it says is, by selling the grain to the people, eventually Joseph collected all the money in Egypt. So the money that they had, so the food was gone, right? So now the only thing that they can do is take their money. Another thing of having something saved up. So now they're able to take their money and come to Joseph, and he's able to take that money, and they're able to purchase it. And look, when they ran out of money, they came to Joseph, our money is gone, they cried, give us food. So here's what Joseph said. Now, since your money's gone, bring me your livestock. You got to understand where they were. They were coming out of a period of what, Mama?
Oh, a period of prosperity. Mm-hmm.
So they had all of these things already. What do we talk about with PRF in regards to possession, resource, and finance? We say, look, folks, y'all have a lot more than you are giving yourself credit for. I remember one time we were doing a workshop at a church last year, I think it was, the year before last, and there was a gentleman who said, every time I get my check, he's on disability, every time I get my check, as soon as I get my check, the money's gone, I got to write a bill out for this, 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 and this, and this. And so within a day or two, I don't have any money because I had to spend it all on this. So I started asking him, what else do you have? I asked about vehicles. I asked about his possessions. And he talked about how he had all these cars in his on his property. And all these cars were not working. He said, every time I got a car over the years, my son would get it, he would tear it up. And I was like, you have possessions in your possession. Your possession can be converted into cash. And then that would like lessen the blow of what you're dealing with. So in my mind, why not just, if you got five cars every month, why don't you just take a car, have a car picked up and take it to the junkyard and get $500 for it? Or put some for sale signs out. See, that's what we do here at PRM. We're not trying to listen to a bunch of excuses and say, well, okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. There's things that God has placed and that we have, he's already given us, that we're able to use to help our situation. So Joseph, mama says, your money's gone, give us the livestock. And then I'll give you food in exchange. How was he able to give them food in exchange for their livestock, mama?
Because he had the money from before.
He had the food because the food was already stored up because during the prosperity years, they had collected
okay.
a fifth of everything.
Right?
Okay. So he allowed them to use up what they had. And now just think about going back to 2 Kings 4:1-7, when the widow woman came to Elisha and said, I don't have anything. And he said, what do you have? All I have is this. Well, go out and collect jars from your neighbors and your friends, and then come back and take that and pour that oil into all the jars until the oil stops flowing, right? One of the foundational scriptures for PRF. Same thing. Since you don't have any food, we're going to make an exchange. Give me your money, give me your livestock, and I'll give you food. So what did they do? They did that. Now they're able to go on a little while longer. Then what happened? By the end of the year, the next year comes around, and then they're like, look, we can't hide the truth from you, Joseph. Our money is gone. All our livestock is gone. All our cattle is gone. We don't have anything to give y'all but our bodies. Not just our bodies as slaves, if you will, but also our land. Remember, God said there was going to be a famine, so we don't need to be tripping like, oh, it's a bad thing that they got so bad down to the bone, and they had to. No. What else do you expect to happen at famine? People start making decisions when their back's up against the wall. One of the reasons why we're talking about what we're talking about is because we want people to be able to, if you get to a place where it's uncomfortable, where things are not happening like you expected them to happen, that you don't have to sell your body and your land at the beginning. You have some other things that you can do on the way if it gets to that point. The reality is, it may get to that point. God may say, you know what, I need you to go through a little something right now. I need to get your attention. So Sister Such and Such may happen with Sister Such and Such is she's at that point where, okay, let me give up my cattle in exchange. And never had to get to the point because she may get the lesson. You know what? I got it. You know what? Let me start, you know, let me go ahead and start saving, even in the midst of it. Something small. Just to show God that I got this principle of planning and this principle of saving and how important it is. But when you get to the point and your back is up against the wall, this text is talking about how they gave up themselves, their body, and their land just to survive, mama.
Yes.
they did all that they could. So I'm encouraging somebody. That shouldn't be your starting point, people. When your back is up against the wall, that shouldn't be the first thing that you give up. You shouldn't be so quick to give up because you didn't plan and save properly when your back is up against the wall, to give up your body. I'm talking about giving up your soul. I'm talking about selling out like really royalty where you're not going to be able to come back from. I'm talking about doing some things that's really going to bring some shame and demeanor to your name and to your household and to your church. That shouldn't be the first step. But there has to be that bump. There has to be something going on in the middle in order for that not to be the first step. So here's what she said. What they say. Why should we die before your very eyes? Buy us and our land in exchange for food. We offer our land and ourselves as slaves for Pharaoh. Just give us some grain so that we may live and not die. And so the land does not become empty and desolate. That's deep. This is coming out of people's mouths. So if you're listening and wind this thing down, if you're listening, you say, you know what? I don't want to be in that position. See, it's not about not going through the famine. I'm trying to get you to focus on this last piece right here, Mama, where yeah. things get so bad that you just say, the hell with everything. The hell with it. I ain't going to pay my bills no more. Whatever. I ain't going to take care of stuff no more. Whatever. I'm going to do some unfruitful. Whatever. Go ahead, Mama.
Yeah. I was going to say, then once you give up and make that decision that you really don't care, and but something comes up that you care about, then it can be a possibility that you start doing things illegal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as we keep walking through this, Mama, so what happens after that? What happens after that is this. Joseph buys all the land. He buys all the land up, right?
Yeah.
For the Pharaoh. And then all the Egyptians, they sold him their fields because, again, the famine was so severe. It had got to that point. And so I'm going to put a plug in here with this thing about when it gets to that point. See, the reality is this, and I'm speaking to believers, and I'm speaking to pastors, and I'm speaking to ministers, and I'm speaking to religious leaders. So I'm going to, we don't need to wait until the famine is so severe before we step in. See, the thing with Joseph was, Joseph already knew what was going to happen. That he knew that it was going to get so bad that what they had stored up was going to have to be used in some way to be able to help the people to continue to live. He already knew that.
Yes.
He already knew that. But he buys this land up. It belongs to Pharaoh now. This is when they became slaves. All of them became slaves. From one end of Egypt all the way to the other. Whole land. The only land that he didn't buy was the land that belonged to the priests. They got an allotment of food. The priests got an allotment of food directly from Pharaoh. So they didn't need to sell their portion of land. They didn't have to worry about starving. So then Joseph says to the people, this is verse 23. Look, today I have brought you and your land for Pharaoh. So you got to understand, Pharaoh just was a beneficiary of people not saving. He was a beneficiary of the people going through a severe famine. And the reality is, because so many people fail to plan, fail to save in this country, in our churches, in our communities, in a lot of our families, because then guess what? There's a Pharaoh that's out there that is waiting for you to say, you know what? I don't have no other way to get across country when my father died. So I'm just going to go ahead and take this credit card at 20% interest. And you know what happened? That person has now put their body into slavery, into bondage. Because the reality is when people go into debt because they don't have savings, they haven't planned properly, what they've done is they put themselves in bondage. And what we're saying is this is not acceptable. in the house of God. This is not acceptable. We can't just sit back, and we're not going to sit back. At least we're not going to be on a PR saying you keep preaching prosperity all day long, anybody else. No, we're not just going to sit back as if it's okay. Right? No, we're not going to do that. Look, okay, so here's what you got to understand. Remember, I said there had to have been a plan, right?
Yes.
You say, why in the world? Why would God just allow that to happen? Right? Because all we got in verse chapter 41 was there was a dream, and then had to be somebody to interpret the dream, and then it was Joseph. And, of course, you know there was more to this story than just this piece that we're talking about, but it's all relevant. So here's what Joseph tells them. Oh, my goodness. Just look at God. He sold their, he accepted their land. He accepted themselves. He accepted them, right, as the slave. But then he turns around and he says, "I will provide you with the seed so that you can plant the field." You go look at it. That's verse 23, 23b to be exact. After he says, "I brought your land and brought you for Pharaoh," he turns right around and says, "I'm going to provide you with seed so that you can plant your field." See, you got to be careful about cursing the famine. You got to be careful about living too high in this area of prosperity, because all that they had with their prosperity, it was over. The period of prosperity is over. But the question is, if you are living in a place of prosperity, sometimes when people are living in a place or a period of famine, it is a whole lot harder for them to see anything of prosperity again. And the ones who actually see something of prosperity start following pipe dreams. Throw $1,000, I'm going to go there. Yeah, there's 100 of you. Give $1,000. And you got it blasting and broadcasting across 200 million people. If you throw any type of net in the water, you're going to get something. Unless you put it in your doggone sink where you know you saw the water go in there and you made sure nothing was in your sink before you put the stopper down. Come on, y'all. All right, Mom. So here's what he said.
Yeah.
I'm going to provide you with the seed. See, if this thing was about just not caring, then why would he even do that? But remember, this was God's chosen vessel for the people. And you like what he said? When you harvest it, this is going to belong to Pharaoh. So here's the deal. I'm going to give you what you need to get you another start. But I'm going to require something of you. Listen, Mama.
Yeah.
When God provides us with things, he's requiring and he wants us to give back to him. Now, you got to imagine this before I even go any further. If he takes one-fifth back, if Pharaoh takes one-fifth back, what if another famine happened? Would there not be again food in the storehouse for the people? You may keep the remaining four-fifths. That's pretty good, right? I think that's 20%. A fifth is 20%, so that's 80. You may keep the other four-fifths as a seed for your field and the food for you, your household, and your little ones. So you may keep it for you, individual. And you know that he wasn't just talking probably to the men during that time, right? And your household and your little ones. You know, again, think about culture. Women weren't running households. Women weren't the planters and the agriculturalists during that time. So that's a good plug for men. When you get the seed, you got to do right by the seed. When you do right by the seed, it affects you, it affects your household, and it affects your little ones. So as we're talking about planning and saving, and we just deal with inheritance, right? a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, your little ones. Not just your children, but your children's children. But you have to have something saved up. You have to plan to have something saved up in order for that to be.
Yes.
And here's what they say. You saved our lives. Our lives. May it please you, my Lord, to let us be Pharaoh's servants. Joseph then issued a decree, still in effect in the land of Egypt, that Pharaoh should receive one-fifth of the crop grown on the land. Meanwhile, after a little while, the people of Israel settled in the region of Goshen in Egypt. There they acquired property. See, isn't that like God? You be faithful during the famine and watch how he puts the right people in the right position to make sure that you get another start. Here's what happened to them, Mama. They acquired property, and they were fruitful, and the population grew rapidly.
Yes.
So I'm done for the night, but I'm going to tell you, what I saw was planning. I saw living in the prosperity.
Yes.
I saw how the famine didn't just totally wipe them out after 3 days.
Right.
7 years. That's a long time to be living in a severe famine.
Yes.
And then they still could be given seed for them to start again. All of this came because of leadership, Mama.
Yes.
All of it came because of leadership. This would not have happened just with somebody in Pharaoh's army. This just would not have happened with somebody just in Pharaoh's court.
No.
This had to happen because there was somebody that God couldn't trust enough the vision to be able to see what was going on and what was going to happen in the future. So he used him to be able to tell them, here's what you need to do to get yourself in position because here's what's about to happen. And let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to put this as something that every pastor needs to talk about. But I'm going to say it like I say everything else, Mama, Tara.
Yes.
The policy is this. If you're not talking about it, don't be selfish and not let somebody else talk about it. Because the reality is, what's going to happen when there's a famine in your church?
Right.
What's going to happen when a company decides to lay off and you have 20 or 30 members? Should their life just stop automatically? Or should there be something in the storehouse that can help them? Or did you say to them, go file unemployment? Do you say, which you know is not going to be, come on, let's be real. Thank God for the unemployment. But let's be real. Unless you was making equivalent to unemployment, it's going to affect your household. It's going to affect you, and it's going to affect your little ones. So we cannot be the ones that just sit back and allow those types of things to happen. So I'm going to put it out there. We would gladly here at PRF be willing more than happy to come and talk to y'all and to teach y'all about standing in faith. If you've been listening to these last couple of shows, you know that God's word is true. And you know that what he's saying in these verses is true today. It may not happen exactly like that. But do we need to wait? Mama, I'm done.
Okay.
I don't have.
No, I have just a couple things to share. I was thinking about how obedient that they were. Because 7 years is a long time, and when you are in a safe position, everything's going well, you have money in the bank, you yourself don't foresee any trouble coming. And then all of a sudden you have someone to tell you this is going to happen, and how obedient that they were. You know, they really believed what was said, and what was said, they believed that he was telling the truth. And that says something for his character. Although
right.
Joseph was in captivity. And
right.
Yes. Something else was gonna say. You know, and what was good, what was see, like as you said, you didn't know what the end was going to be here. They didn't know what to do because they didn't have any money. They've done all that they could do. But see how God was working with them, see? And because they were faithful with what they did, then God just went on ahead and blessed them. And then they were able to continue to do the same thing. And sometimes I was wondering, did they continue to do it on and on? Because you never know when it's going to be a famine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay, that's good. Well, look, I just want us to just impress in people's minds once again, you know, these different strategies, you know, these different things to think about and meditate on. And the first thing is, look, we're talking about planning and safety. You got to recognize, you got to understand that the best way to do it is by us doing it together. Not a hard concept. We gotta do it together. Listen, if 10 of us, right, if 10 of us are able to save $5, 10 times 5 is $50. But when I look at my statement and I see $5, I don't get too happy about it. It's $5 and I got 22 cents in. But when I take that $10 or whatever it is, whatever I said, 10, 5. When I take that money and I come up with these other folks and I see a larger number, I don't say, that's not really anything. I'm not doing anything. I say, that looks pretty good for us. And then when other folks see us doing that, then that will compel others to do the same thing. So now our us becomes us plus us. And then our us plus us becomes us plus us plus us. And then we start multiplying. And then we don't have some of the concerns that we have today about there not being enough, or when situations come up, we don't able to respond. And forget all this foolishness, those of you who are listening, we came up, so it's going to come out. This thing about always going to our individual pocket for folks in the church. See, that's where it messes up, because if I go into my individual pocket when Sister Minnie needs money for her light bill, then where is it going to come again? And then if I don't have it, then now what has been done is it has created this environment where now you got somebody begging individual folks, not how it's supposed to be. And they get discouraged because, well, how many times are you going to get told no before you stop asking? So the first thing is, you got to understand that, look, we got to do this together. Plan and saving,
right.
Look, we got to do it together. We got to teach them, not just give them a fish. We got to teach them. That's why we're here. And the next thing is operating within a system that works for you. And we understand, again, that when you say you, we're not talking about you individually as one person. It could mean you, but we're not talking about staying there as a you, where you just got your own system and nobody else knows what's going on. This system that was in place, there's a lot of people involved in this system, Mama, that we read about in Genesis 41 and 47. It wasn't Joseph as the only one that had anything to do with it. Joseph wasn't out there collecting up this grain. Joseph wasn't the one bringing it back. Joseph wasn't the one putting it and storing it up in the storehouse. Pharaoh wasn't doing it. It took other folks. So you take this whole notion of doing it together, and then you say, this is the system. It's working. We know it's going to work. I believe Joseph. I believe God through Joseph. So this is what I'm going to say, what we need to do. This is what I need to happen, people. So operate within a system that works. And then the last thing, and this is for tonight, look at a leader who practically and spiritually understands planning and saving. We may pick that up next week, Mama. We're gone. We're gone for the night. But I'm going to leave it just like that. Look for a godly leader who understands practicing and spiritually this concept, this biblical concept of planning and saving. What's going to happen is, I said I was going to go, but I got to say this, Mama. What's going to happen is you're going to see that person is not always going to be your pastor. Pharaoh was the king. Joseph wasn't the king. But look at what God did through Joseph. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, look, we are ecstatic about you being with us tonight. And so we're going to go ahead and sign off from tonight. You're listening to the PRS Table. This is myself, Dr. Dunlap, Marianne Williams, a.k.a. Mama, Tara Sherwood, Dia, Senators, one of the sisters. We love y'all. We thank y'all for being with us. And we will see y'all next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I did say I have a big announcement. Next week, I'm not going to tell y'all. Go to our website, prfministry.org. Tomorrow. I'm going to let y'all just lay in waiting for a little while longer. Or visit our Facebook page, Possessions. God reach us PRF on Facebook. God bless y'all. We love you. We see y'all on the next go round. Peace.